Well, hello, everyone. On this July 25th, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, we're glad you're tuned in. Thanks for carving out time and certainly your probably busy schedule to listen to one of our four frequencies. Thank you, God, for the Ministry of Great News Radio. I tune in all the time, and we're comprised of four frequencies serving East Central Illinois, West Central Indiana. Now with our streaming audio, literally people from all over the world can tune in and listen to us live. And then we have our archive programs of Mark and Friends in the Morning. So there's lots of ways to tune in and be blessed. And we've already prayed up today's broadcast that maybe through something that's said or shared or referred to or referenced or how God is honored, hopefully through our storytelling, that you'll be blessed. And I know, Jason, I'm going to slow down. I have this tendency. And Jason was like, he was rubbing his head and said, oh, but I'm operating on a high octane day.
To know you, I don't have any hair in the front here anymore. I started to rub it now.
Yeah. So anyway, I had an incredible morning of reading, of accomplishment, of getting closure on some things. So as Jason showed up to the studio this morning, I started telling him all these things and one after another. And I said, I want to reference this. I want to tell our listeners about this. I want to do this. And then I said, that'll leave you about a minute. No, At first I said, that leaves you about 3 minutes left for Jude. And then when I got done sharing some more, I said, Jason, you're down to about a minute left. And he's rubbing his head going, oh, Lord, help me. And so then I said, Jason, how about you praying up this morning's program? And so he had a very calming influence on me to kind of slow me down, and hopefully I can stay on task. But I do want to update our listeners on a number of exciting events that you're going to be a part of, at least two of them. And I'm really feeling that God's leading us forward in some endeavors, some God-honoring gatherings that I think will be a blessing to many. And I also want to point out, if you missed Monday or Tuesday's broadcast, I just love having people in the studio sharing their faith story. On Monday, it was Bruce Henriksen, and he serves at Parkland College. And I just loved how he shared some of his own life story, his love story, and just his love for working at Parkland College and his love for the students. So it was so encouraging to have Bruce in the studio on Monday. And then Tuesday, yesterday, it was Jim and Nancy Miller and Eva and Natalie Awe, and they shared some of their life story. And if you tuned in, trust me, I bet many of you had to grab a Kleenex or your eyes welled up or you teared some when she did her reading of Psalm 23. I listened to the re-airing, and it really touched me, and I was touched in the studio, and all of us kind of had to hold back from bawling because it was so powerful, her reading of Psalm 23 and sharing some of her life story. So those programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org. Well, before I update people, Jason, on a couple things, I want to start calling you Jason Ezra Schiffo, or Pastor Ezra Schiffo, because my readings today, I made a connection with you and Ezra, and I really like this prophet Ezra, this influencer that...
Can everybody who's driving in your car pull over right now? If you're in your house, just take a moment. Can you pray for me? Yeah. Man, I really need prayers in my relationship with Mark Burns.
This Ezra guy, I really like, and you model some of his characteristics. This is going to be a real compliment to you, because I know how passionate you are on teaching God's Word, how much you love to divide God's Word, to study it, to think about it, to ponder it, to ask God for insights and have the Holy Spirit lead you in your studies. But listen to this passage out of Ezra chapter 7. I read it this morning. And Ezra, it's interesting. He's one of the few, they have this whole lineage, you know, he's the son of, the son of, the son of, and it traces Ezra all the way back to Aaron, the chief of priests. And I hadn't read that in a while, where any of these other, you know, you hear this about some of the kings, but Ezra, they give you like 15 grandfathers and great-grandfathers. They trace them all the way back to Aaron, which is significant. But in verse 10 of chapter 7 of Ezra, it says, "For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. And what I saw in the parallel of the connection I made with you is that you love the teaching, the studying of God's Word, and you've devoted yourself to that. And I think you've shared that on a number of past programs. Just your heart, your ministry calling is to study God's Word and to present it. And so I just thought, Jason Ezra Schiffo. So anyways, that's my new little nickname for the day anyway.
Well, that's funny that you have that, because I think I just tipped my Bible over and showed you the Bible that I study out of. And it's a Bible I spend a lot of time out of. I have a bunch of Bibles, but this is the one that I probably spend the most time in. It's well-worn and well-written in. And that passage is highlighted. Because it gives all those people there. You know, when the Bible bothers to go back and figure out whose fathers, grandfathers, all those people were, it's because this person is such great prominence, and so were the people before them. You want to know who their parents were, who the people who produced this great person was. Because you see, it says all this. It says all his fathers and son of, and then it says in verse 6, it begins again, it says, this Ezra. And the this is important because it's like he's being anointed there, this Ezra. So it's really pointing out that this is the Ezra. And it says he came up from Babylon. And whenever the Bible talks about somebody coming up, it's a connotation of being lifted up and raised up, being nearer to the Lord. Jesus goes up on a mountaintop. Moses goes up on a mountaintop. Whenever anybody comes up, notice it's funny, you know, don't people go up to Jerusalem?
Yeah,
they
always
go up to the temple. But generally, when we read the text, when people do that, they're actually coming from the north, so they're going south. So in our modern day kind of the way we look at things, we would say, no, wait, they're going down to Jerusalem, not up to Jerusalem.
Right.
But because it's where the presence of God is, that they're going up towards God. Same thing here. He's coming up from Babylon. Where's he going up to? Up towards where God has called him to do. It's a passage that I have just highlighted in here because I love what it says. It says, everything he asked for, the hand of the Lord his God was on him. Not with him. On him. Later down in passage number 8, verse 8, it says, the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. And then after that, in verse 10, it says, for Ezra had devoted himself to the study and the observances of the laws of the Lord and the teaching and decrees of the laws of Israel. You know what that means to me? Is that Ezra knew his Bible. And he knew what was happening outside of the Bible. And he was using God's word, the truth of what God does. The same thing that Jude's talking about, using that. Ezra was understood. He was an expert in what was happening in Israel. But he was an expert in the Bible because that's the lens that he had to look at what was going on in Israel. And that's so he knew what to reconcile. He knew how he was to meet those people. I mean, Ezra was a man who didn't just camp out in his Christian tent. But he went out and he rubbed shoulders with all kinds of people. But he was an expert.
And I love the fact, and I'm going to have to research some more about Ezra, but in verse 6 of chapter 7, this Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. And then it goes on to say, the king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. And I'm thinking, what I love about Ezra is he was an influencer, and the king obviously observed this Ezra, maybe his passion for the Torah, his insights, his wisdom, his grace, his connection with God, and the king blessed him. And I'm thinking, because Ezra influenced the king in various ways, and this was a most likely a secular pagan kind of king. And the parallel I'm making with myself or with you or with others is we need to be the influencers in the secular community, in our vocations, in our realms where we can influence others. And Ezra had a positive influence on this king, and this king granted his request and said, take the gold, take, you know, the silver, take these things back, build your temple. And I thought, it's because Ezra was bold, was faithful, was passionate, and the king saw that and was attracted to that in various ways.
Right. There was a quality of Ezra's life. I mean, from verse 10, that he devoted himself. You know, it doesn't say he devoted his time. It doesn't say he devoted part of his day. He devoted himself. So he devoted everything he was to the study and observances of the law of the Lord and the teaching of his decrees and the laws in Israel. So the king would have looked at him and he would have gone, this guy's kind of different. Like, he's given his life to something. You know, there are plenty of people I have who are secular friends who I rub shoulders with who don't know Jesus, and we're working on that together. But I respect the way that they walk, the way that they give themselves. You know, I have some friends who are philosophy made, you know, they study philosophy, some who study science, and I respect their devotion to that. I don't agree with them, but I respect the way that they give themselves up to it. Now, there's a piece of it they're missing, you know, some of these science friends that I have, and Jason Lyle talked about that last week. There's a piece of it that they're missing that yet to be revealed to them, and when they get that, they will have full knowledge. But it doesn't mean that you don't still look on the other side and go, wow. I mean, that's, and the same thing, they would say that for me. I have a friend who's he's a big philosophy guy. He reads a lot of philosophy stuff. And he always says to me, he says, Jason, I don't agree with you. He goes, but I have great respect for your work ethic. I have great respect for the amount of time you spend studying. He goes, I sometimes can't understand why you would give so much of yourself up to something that I don't see as necessarily valuable. And I go, you know what? That's actually the first step towards him moving towards what I believe. Because he sees that I see value in it. And he's wondering what the value is, even though he doesn't right away make an intimate connection with it.
You're making me think of one of my favorite chapters in this book called Autobiography of God by, oh, he was one of the senator, not a senator, a chaplain for the senators, Ogilvy. I can't think of Ogilvy. Anyways, his last name's Ogilvy. Or first name, I can't remember. It's Autobiography of God, but the whole premise of one of the parables that he divides is how oftentimes we look at those maybe professional athletes or people that are dedicated, sold out, committed to their cause, their vocation, their interests, and it's modeling a great quality, and how few of us Christians have that same passion, that same intentionality, that same drive to serve God, to study His Word, to witness. And it's a characteristic that God has given to people, and yet so many people pour themselves into these things that are less than God, and how we could take a lesson from some of them. Look at how passionate that ball player is to be as good as he can in his field, and yet are we that same passionate about serving Almighty Sovereign God who loves us? And it's a great, I can't think of what parable that he draws from, Autobiography of God, Lloyd Ogilvy. Okay. Lloyd John Ogilvy. Lloyd, well, anyways, it's a great book. So,
well, I mean, just in terms of Ezra, I mean, how many of us devote ourselves to the study and observance of the law? Because if you devote yourself to the study of God's Word, you will not, now listen to me, you will not devote yourself to the love of God's people. Because once you devote yourself to the study of God's Word, you devote yourself to the truth. And the truth revealed to you is that you are to, we talked about on Sunday morning, that you are to then walk in love. It says in 2 John chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 4, that we're to walk, it says this is what love is. And it says that you walk in obedience. And then the next verse it says that then you're able to walk in love. And so once you enter into obedience into God's Word, you have no choice. You're going to begin to walk in love because you're going to be able to see things now with a new set of eyes. You start to go, wait a second, there's a need over here, and here's a place that I can serve. And wow, this whole thing here is worship. I mean, everything I'm doing all day long can either be work or worship, and which one do I choose for it to be? I mean, I think once you enter into God's Word, like Ezra did, and Ezra devoted himself to it. He gave himself to it. And so great question for people would be, what have you given yourself to?
Yeah.
You know, what have you given yourself to? I mean, I counseled some folks maybe 2 weeks ago, and the guy was just frustrated. It was a couple, and the guy was just frustrated, and he said, I just don't understand why this won't work. I've given myself over to this woman. I mean, I've given myself to her. And I just looked him in the eyes, and I looked them both, actually, and I said, well, have you guys given yourself to God? Because it's not about giving yourself to each other. It's about giving yourself to God. Because look, if you're left to love on your own, it'll be pretty lackluster love. I mean, let's just be honest. Because my definition of love is Scott Fentz's called my comfort zone. But when I love like God loves, I jump over the fences and I meet people where they're at in their poverty and in their suffering. I mean, My comfort level fences don't mean that I go and sit next to somebody in the hospital while they're dying of cancer and holding their hand and weeping and crying with them. I mean, if I defined that on my own, I probably would say, well, can I just love people from my office and the air conditioning with my books and the things that I really love to do? But when I read God's Word, it drives me, it convicts me to go out and to meet people where they're at and to cry and weep and love people where they're at.
And not only that, but you're empowered by loving on God and meeting with Him. He can equip you and fill you up and prepare you for whatever ways you're going to have to pour yourself out. On our own, you know, we're going to be inadequate, ill-equipped, we're going to be self-centered, self-focused, and not effective. but as we're drawn on God's strength and His insight, His wisdom, and receiving His love for us, then we can pour out to others.
Yeah, and I think there's a tension in that too, especially as a pastor. And you and I had a great conversation on Sunday afternoon. We called each other for something totally different.
Yeah.
And then I think that I
An hour later, we're still talking.
I told my wife, I said, the worst thing about these cell phones now is they keep track of how long you're on the phone. So when you hit hang up and you look down and you go, an hour and 4 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it back in the day when I didn't know how much time I wasted on the phone. So,
but it wasn't wasted because it was me,
no,
right?
No, it totally was not wasted, but it was great. Yeah, no. Now Mark needs counseling.
Yeah, pray for me, everyone. See?
But the tension in that, though, especially with God's word, is that, and for me as a pastor, but I think it's for all of us because we're all pastors, we're all priests, and we're all teachers, we're all these things, is that when you share God's word with somebody, it convicts them. When you share God's word with somebody, it's God's word and God's spirit through His word that convicts them of things that they've done, maybe sins they've committed, places that they are that they shouldn't be. I mean, it's God's word that convicts them. But oftentimes that person will make that connection of conviction with you, the person, the messenger, you, the deliverer. You know, I stand up in the pulpit on a Sunday morning like many pastors who are probably listening right now and deliver the word of God. And afterwards, somebody comes up and they go, you know, I don't agree with you, or I didn't like that, or, you know, that made me feel uncomfortable. And you just have to stop and go, you know, it wasn't me that did it. I mean, I just delivered it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean? Let's look at the Bible. I mean, if we were to open up the Bible and lay it all out in front of us, every single one of the prophets who came along and they delivered and preached God's word paid a penalty for it here in this world. John the Baptist was beheaded for preaching God's word. And what did John the Baptist come? He preached a message of repentance, of conviction that comes through the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and he preached, and Jesus was on the cross. I mean, and then Paul and Peter and James and Jude. I mean, the only one who escapes kind of this persecution death is John. But that isn't without persecution in terms of...
And he's banished.
Right, he's banished. But I mean, that doesn't even... I mean, I read... recently, you know, about some of the historicity behind John, you know, they tried to boil him alive. They lowered him into this big pot of boiling liquid, and they used these giant rake things and held him in there. I mean, they said that if you would have seen John, his skin was probably had just burns and boils all over it from being tried. They tried to boil him alive. But often those who preach and those who share put themselves in a position like that. They put themselves in a position, an uncomfortable, tense position, because the Holy Spirit uses your words to convict the person who's sitting with you of maybe things they've done and places they've been. You know, and I want to share this too, because I don't want to just sit and go, yeah, I feel, you know, pray for me because, you know, I sit in the pulpit and people feel like I'm the one who's convicting them. I have sat many times in a church, in a service. And I want to share this. I have many times sat in the pulpit delivering a message, and the Holy Spirit has convicted me of something I'm doing as I'm reading a piece of the text. And I have a choice in that moment. I can either say, I want to become bitter and angry because of this conviction, or I want to become better. And I want to move more towards God, more towards what God wants me to do. I want to give myself like Ezra up and devote myself to this. But if you devote yourself to God's word, you're going to enter into a relationship with God who is relentless. And listen, He will tell you when you're wrong. He'll let you know. and your fences, your comfort level, you might as well just get rid of them. Or you might as well just be prepared to jump over them. Or you might as well just be prepared to do it, because you know what? God is going to radically change that. I mean, you know, here it says, you pointed out this king in the text here in Ezra. I mean, this is a king. He probably could have said, Ezra, off with your head. I mean, this might have been a little bit of, you know, being in relationship with some of these pagan leaders might have been a really uncomfortable place to be if you were a prophet, if you were somebody who was speaking the word of this one true God. So, I mean, I guess that out of this, I just wanted to point out, you know, we don't even talk about Jude today.
You know, I'm already thinking, what if I don't have a guest for Mark and Friends for Friday? Can we maybe discuss Jude on Friday?
Hey, you know what? Everybody needs – can you guys – I want to see how many people will call in or write in when they hear this. I want to flood his email box with people saying, hey, I think we're like 2 weeks now behind on Jude. What's going on?
Friday. How about Friday?
Aren't you guys glad that John MacArthur is a slightly more intentional than we are? He keeps on schedule. But, what are you devoting yourself to? And why are you devoting yourself to that? And I guess at the end of the day, what I'm really trying to say is that I've oftentimes in my own life devoted myself to things that were simply because of my own comfort level. And my vision became very short, and my willingness became very short. And the Bible says over and over again, all those who are willing. It says in Peter, when it talks about the preacher, it says he is willing. And we have to devote ourselves to what God wants us to do, to his word, because we're willing. And then the Bible will be willing through revelation to send us out to do some amazing things. But we have to take that first step. And I think I shared on Sunday morning, if you don't, you won't be able to walk in love. You'll instead need a wheelchair, because you won't be able to walk in love. Your love that you do, you'll do it from the wheelchair, where you'll kind of wheel yourself out. And it'll be kind of half-hearted love, because it'll be just what you can do. But instead, I think we should, as Christians, devote ourselves to God and God's word and God's revelation and God's spirit, and maybe just start to love like God does. Because that's what he calls us. I mean, at the end of the day, isn't that really... I mean, what if we did that? What if we didn't say, you know what, I'm just going to start to love like God loves? But you know what, in order to do that, you got to devote yourself to the scriptures, because you've got to understand who God is and what God is and why God loves the way he loves and why God does the things that he does. But what if we did that? What if we devoted ourselves to the scriptures? I mean, in the early church in Acts 2, they do that. The church blows up. 3,000 people, 5,000 people, 10,000 people, 20,000 people. But you know what, if you read prior to that, they devoted themselves to loving like God did.
I'm reading a book. It's by the president of Wheaton College. I think it's Love as Jesus Loved is the title. I'm only like 30 pages into it. And I can't wait to interview, I think it's Jim Reinick. I can't think of his name. He's the Wheaton College president, but it's a great book, and it's all on that theme. And out of that 2 Corinthians, the passage that all the pastors use during weddings.
We all marry people too, and it has nothing to do with being married. In fact, if we knew what it really meant exegetically, we would never say it at a marriage.
Yeah, I know. But he kind of divides it in a way of how we need to learn to love as Jesus would love, and I can't wait to approach that topic in the coming days. And I have 3 special announcements that I'm going to have to wait till maybe Friday to share, because tomorrow is Joey Kroll, but we do have
Give
a date.
Give it up for Joey.
Yeah. Tomorrow for Joey, but we have a specific date for the Creation Museum visit. We're going to go up to Chicago, where Signature Sound and Ernie Haas will be performing, and then we have dates and specifics for our missions trip to Israel in March of next year. So tune in Friday and you'll hear more. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.